The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
Joey, there's not a whole lot of times I get to do a podcast without you. Today was one of them, man. Where were you?
I was in a place that I do not ever want to go back to, and that is moving. Physically moving my household with 5 girls, my wife, just across town is complete mayhem. So sorry I had to duck out.
Yeah, wasn't there like a Richard Pryor movie called Moving back in the day that detailed the disasters of moving? I mean, couldn't you have just watched that and realized that you needed just to be here and let somebody else do that for you?
Man, if I could, I would. Unfortunately, I was necessary in the process. But that should not keep people from tuning in to today's episode. We're talking about term conversions. What does that even mean?
Well, it's, did you know that I can take a term policy and I can convert it into one of these infinite banking concept policies that you guys talk about? That is something you're going to get to find out on this episode that you might not have known existed.
Well, and I wish I could have been a part of this conversation, because I remember early on, Russ, when you shared this concept with me, my immediate thought was, well, I can't necessarily, quote unquote, afford to put as much money into this policy, this first policy that you set me up on, but I knew down the road I was going to want to expand. And you just said, well, why don't we just buy term for the amount that you can't afford today? And it was like, oh, well, that's just like locking in the future, like having money in the bank ready to expand.
Didn't you guys hear what he just said there? He just said, Russ, you are an amazing coach. You taught me how to not have to go back through the underwriting process. And I could expand because I knew, Joey, I knew you're going to want to put a lot more money in those policies than you were starting with, but I just knew you were not ready at that point. And having that term coverage just gave you the mental capacity whenever that time was right for you to say, oh, now what do I have to do? And I go, sign this form, put cash to it. And it was like, bingo. And that is what we're covering today. As always, our Tuesday episode is about how the infinite banking concept plays into our overall 4-step process toward getting to where we're creating a life worth living. And in every episode, if you're a member of our inner circle, Joey,
yes,
you get to participate. How does somebody get to become a member of
Inner Circle? Yeah, it's so simple. You need to go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/inner circle, and you can be a part of literally us recording this, getting your questions answered live, and being a part of all the other benefits in that inner circle. You got to join today.
Which is access to coaches. And we've created a 7-day free trial that you can take advantage of and be a part of every episode and behind the scenes and get to see how coaches can help you expand and grow your wealth to a point where you are financially free. And that means where your monthly passive income is greater than your monthly expenses. And those are the answers that we want to solve daily. So Joey, I know our episode today is about term conversions, but what it's about is really expanding. And just like your waistband, I want to belly up and talk about expanding our system today. Let's do it.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome into the IBC Inner Circle Roundtable. Today, as always, we're breaking down your favorite subject matter,
life insurance. Life insurance. The topic that continues to get deeper and deeper, because we're not unpacking really just life insurance. What we're unpacking is, how do we use this conversation of life insurance in a way that helps us get closer to our goals, which is financial freedom, which means we have more passive income than we have monthly expenses. And step two in our process is taking control. And the functionality of the infinite banking concept helps us do that. But we need to really understand, if this is going to be a foundational tool, you need to know what that means. I'm your host, Russ Morgan. I am sitting here at a round table with a couple of my favorite guys. To my right, the student, the professor, the man who digs through and helps you get to where you're going, Mr. Downtown Ernie Brown. What's up, Ernie? How are you today?
Hey, Russ. I'm doing great, man.
Glad to have you here. Thank you for wearing my Auburn shirt today as we prepare for first week of college football.
I thought you'd like that.
I do like it. I like it a lot. And I hope as you guys are listening to this, you know that Auburn is a football school. Most people have only recognized this as a basketball school of late, but this is our year. We're undefeated at this point.
You are undefeated. Let's wait till week two.
You may not know that Ernie's favorite team is Georgia, and we will be playing.
That's right. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Have you guys kept most of your players off drugs and out of the prison so far this year, or how's that worked out?
I don't know this year. Kirby's pretty quiet on the team.
Yeah, I haven't seen. You guys usually are really good at like transferring over some amazing players our way. Have you guys given us anybody?
No,
really
we sent our players this year to Tennessee and Ole Miss.
Ah, man, we're really the funds must have been low.
You couldn't afford those guys. They're at least 4-star players.
All right. Another regular somebody that we have grown to love, our resident pilot, the man who gets you to your financial destination safely, Mr. Mark, the Gooch, Hargucci. What's up, Mark?
Not much, guys. If I'd have known it was going to be Alma Mater Pride Day, I would have put on my Purdue shirt for you. So.
Well, I love the fact that it is always an opportunity for us to like see what Mark is going to be wearing, because his backdrop, if you're not a part of our inner circle, you need to be. You could be watching this live with us. All you need to do is go to wealthwallstreet.com/inner-circle. Not only do you get to participate in the subject matter, but you get access to these coaches anytime that you want. And really, in this process of infinite banking, we need help. We need a coach. And the inner circle is not only a group where you get access to elite type information, but also elite coaches like Mark and Ernie. And we just really appreciate you participating in that. So here's a good topic for today, right? We're talking about term insurance, and more specifically, how term insurance can be converted to whole life. I made a comment in the community as I was getting ready to go on the air today. And I said, we're going to be agreeing with our favorite uncle, Dave Ramsey, about term insurance, right? I mean, he says term insurance is the way to go. I would say that term insurance is a way to go as long as you're looking for it as a way to expand your system in the future. What do you think about that, Ernie?
We like the idea by term. We can agree there.
Dave, you stopped short of the invest the difference.
Oh, I forgot about that part.
Well, most everybody else does too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, but that is good advice. And for specific uses, right, just like we would employ permanent insurance as the vehicle for the infinite banking concept, term insurance has its place as a vehicle and its use.
What do you think about term insurance, Mark? You had an amazing coach that was like teaching you this process. What did he teach you about how to use a term insurance policy?
That right there.
Oh my goodness. Did I make a mistake and not tell you about how this works?
Well, you know, you and I both had an agreement of how our conversation should go. And, you know, I think it's really great, because one of the interesting things about term is exactly what we just talked about, right? A lot of people have, you know, poo-pooed on whole and they've said, oh, term is the way to go. But yet now all of a sudden we're in the quote IBC mindset, and isn't the IBC mindset that term is bad and whole is the way we're supposed to go?
Sometimes I think people believe that, right? They believe that either you're picking one or the other, that you got to choose sides. It's like, are you going to be an Auburn fan or are you going to be a anybody else fan.
You're either with us or you're against us.
That's right. And the reality is that's not the case. Unless you're Alabama, then that is the case, right? If you are Alabama, then it's either you're for them or against them. But everybody else, I see us, term insurance is just a tool, right? It's just a tool in our tool belt. And shame on me, by the way, Mark, for not really explaining this when you were going through this as a client, because it is something that I love to teach and share, is that term insurance is the inventory. So if you're familiar with the book, Becoming Your Own Banker, if you're not, you can go on the website right now. You can go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/infinite banking. You can get access to this book. But in here, he goes through an example about a grocery store. You guys remember that?
It's a great chapter.
And he wants to talk about how the gondolas, that's the aisles where the shelves where you put the different products, the peas, as he would talk about, on there. And he would say, if somebody, Ernie, came and bought a can of peas and paid for them, hopefully paid for them at retail.
Front door type of operation there.
Exactly. What did you have to do with the can of peas that now had an empty spot on the shelf?
Somebody would have to go to the back and get another can of peas.
Yeah. If they didn't, they wouldn't keep coming and patronizing the store, would they?
They'd probably go somewhere else that had peas.
Right. So they had to go back into the warehouse in order to get one off the counters in the back and bring them to the counters in the front. Well, to me, term insurance is the same exact thing for the process in which we're doing, is that we know at some point in time, when someone buys one policy, what are they going to do, Mark?
Within a relatively short order, everyone's time frame is a little different, but normally we'll come back for a second one, right? You know, if we found the peas that we wanted in the store and they tasted all right and everything was good, we're more than likely going to come back again.
Yeah. Well, Ernie, what's the easiest way to buy a second whole life policy?
Do it quickly.
Okay. It's spoken like a true life insurance salesman. Okay. Let's
that. Well, the reason that I say that is because within a year, for most companies, your medical exam labs are good.
Ah, okay. So that's an interesting thing. So if you take a life insurance exam, you're saying that you can get another policy without having to have your blood drawn and stuff like that if you do it within the first year?
That's right. You just have to redo an application, re-go through underwriting, potentially reuse the lab results. Might have to have somebody come out, measure your waist again. Mm. But actually, that's not the easiest way. That's an easy way, but that's not the easiest. I misspoke.
Well, the easiest, in my opinion, is a term conversion. And so I want to break that down. Really, what does that even mean? Because most of us maybe have never done this. I personally have done it several times. So a term conversion is where you have a policy, a term policy with a company that is that the same type of company that you have your whole life policies with, right? So sometimes people buy term insurance through one of the providers that provides the cheapest term coverage, and they don't even have whole life policies. And I won't mention all of those names. But there's some of them out there that really don't even have a whole life policy, or the company would be a stock company, meaning that you can find them on the S&P 500 or on the NASDAQ, and you could buy and sell them. Those are public companies. We don't want to do business with public companies. By the way, Mark, why do we not want to do business with public companies? What's the reason for that?
Well, I want to be a part of the profits, a part of the party. So that when the mutual company does well, we as the policy owners get to partake in that end of the year party. But if it's a stock company, then all of that recognition has to go to the stockholders, because a stock company, their job is to increase shareholder value.
No, that's right. You're basically, the profits go to the owners of the company, and in a stock company, those owners are the stockholders. And in a mutual company, we would consider them kind of a private company. The policy holders are the ones who are owners, and so they receive the profits. So if you have a term policy with one of these companies, the way to turn it into a whole life policy when you're ready is literally just a couple pieces of paper. Ernie, you've helped our clients do this a number of times. Talk about the process of what actually happens. How does someone take a term policy and turn it into a whole life policy?
It's very simple. You just ask. And in fact, you don't necessarily even have to ask. You really just tell with the convertible policy. There's just a couple pieces of paperwork, far shorter than a traditional application. State a few things about your health, potentially, and then give the policy you want to convert to. The insurance company takes a look at that, matches the death benefits, and there we go.
All right, so I want to kind of break this out a little bit. You know, everybody refers to how this process works a little bit differently. I always gave Nelson Nash's example of, you know, replacing the peas on the shelves. And we were talking with JD, who wasn't able to make it today, and he kind of gave this example of ladling soup. Now, I don't know about you. Like, I'm not a ladler. I thought ladling was a form of singing.
Yeah, I think ladling is done in like European countries.
But what he kind of gave this example of, if you can imagine this big pot of soup and you wanted to put some in your bowl, you'd take this ladle, which I would just call like a big spoon, but I don't know. I guess in his house, they call it a ladle. My wife, when she can't find a big spoon, she goes and gets one of those measuring cups. And that's usually what we're using to get it out. But you're going to take some out of this big pot and put it into your bowl, right? Well, you don't need to put more in your bowl than what you're going to eat, unless you're, because at my house, if you don't, you know, I grew up in a house where if you didn't eat what was on your plate, you stayed up until you did. I can remember as a kid going over to my aunt's house and not eating everything that was on my plate and literally sitting up. It seemed to be like 1:30 at night. I'm sure it was like 8:45, but when you're a 5-year-old kid, it seems like forever, and having to wait. Well, so with the term conversion, if you consider the term policy being like this big pot of soup and you want to convert a portion of it into a whole life policy, all you have to do is go over there and take your big ladle or your measuring cup, however you're going to get it out, and you put it over here. And now what you've done is you have the same total coverage, right? There's still the same amount of soup exists on the conversion. The difference is what you have in a whole life policy is the part that measures up to what you want. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what JD explained. And I thought, okay, I'll try to use it. I wish he was here so I could have made more fun out of it.
I wish he could have told it.
It probably was done much better than him.
Props to you, though, for suffering through that example.
Oh, my goodness. That was a really bad example, by the way.
I think of it sort of like a lease option in a house.
Okay, explain.
Oftentimes people think of term coverage, they say, oh, that's rented coverage. But a whole life policy, that's you own that, that's permanent. Well, a term conversion would be sort of like setting yourself up a lease option in a house where I'm going to move in and pay rent for a little while. But if I want to purchase this property, I can do that.
So yeah, you already have a predetermined agreement where you can turn it over to an ownership part.
That's right.
I like that. And in that example, if somebody had a term policy and they converted 100% of it, that would be very similar to what your example is.
You get to keep the living room and everything.
Yeah. In this example, not all term conversions. So if you had a $2 million term policy and you wanted to put $20,000 a year into a policy, well, we're going to, again, our objective is to reduce the death benefit to the smallest amount the government will allow us. And so depending on your age, health, and everything else, that could be just $1 million of coverage, maybe 500,000, it may be 2 million. But let's just assume in your situation, it only needed $1 million of coverage. Well, then we would have $1 million of term left over and $1 million whole life policy that we're putting in our 20 grand. And that's really what's important to us, is when we make this conversion, our objective is to continue to get the whole life policy and our cash growing for its future purpose to be deployed. So there's some questions though, Mark, that I think we need to go through, that I think most people are going to have as they start thinking about this process. The first one is, do I have to convert it all at once? I think we sort of covered that, but what else would you add to it if we need to?
I think another question that would come up is, how long do I have? How long do I have to convert? Is this like a Canyon rent to own or a rent lease to buy, where I've only got X amount of time? And once I pass that period, they say, sorry, the house is no longer for sale.
All right. Well, how long do we have to convert it?
That depends.
Well, explain. What do you mean by that?
It depends on your carrier. It depends on who this is set up with, because everyone is just a little bit different, right? I mean, there are a multitude of companies, and everyone's going to have just their own little take, which could create some nuances. And I think that's where it's really important then to have that discussion of, you know, what is our ultimate goal, right? Which is our number one question we always go back to. What are we trying to accomplish? What kind of flexibility do we need? What kind of structure do we need? What do we feel we can reasonably accomplish on the way to that goal?
Well, I will say too, like from a practical standpoint, just to help you as you're driving down the road and you're like, Mark, that was vague. I want some answers. Give me some answers, would you? Let's just say you bought a 10-year term insurance policy. Depending on the company, but most of the ones that we would work with would give you the full 10 years to be able to convert that 10-year term policy to a whole life policy. And that's a really important thing. Is sometimes people ask me, well, why would you suggest that I get a 10-year term policy? I'm 30 years old. You think I only got 10 more years? So Ernie, why would somebody buy a 10-year term policy instead of a 30-year term policy?
I think two reasons. Number one, just on the pure insurance side, the cost of that 10-year is going to be cheaper than a 30-year. And second, if we really start this infinite banking process and we solve that with a whole life policy and we start flowing cash through it, pretty soon we're either going to create additional cash flows or we're going to realize that we needed to be putting more into this in the first place. And typically, that's going to happen within 10 years.
Yeah, that's the point I love about this is, I use this analogy a lot of times. You know, I have a family of six. That's a pretty big family, right? But for you and Caroline, Ernie, if you guys were going on a trip, just say going down to the beach, just the two of you guys, would you want to drive the Rose, the Cherokee?
Rosie,
I'm sorry.
So updated. Rose was the last one.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Rosie. Would you want to drive Rosie or would you want to drive my wife's big, huge Expedition?
Well, the Expedition sounds kind of fun, but I'll take the Grand Cherokee. Well, I'll take the better gas mileage.
Exactly, yeah. Right? I mean, the four-door Grand Cherokee not only is going to get better gas mileage, it's just more efficient for what your needs are, right? But yet, if you knew that you're going to swing by and pick up two friends on the way and then halfway down pick up two more, you might want to pick up the Expedition. You may want to try to drive Megan's car down there. Now, it's going to cost you a little extra money, right? But you, that's what would make sense. But if all you're going to do is just the two of you, then you don't want to have to spend any more than you need. And that's the way I think about this when we're converting term insurance. When you're working with your coach and you're having this conversation of, should I add a term policy to this whole life policy I'm buying? And if the answer is yes, then how soon after you set up this policy can you foresee yourself having enough cash to want to add to it? And with that in mind, then you can determine the size. And usually what I say is that if you feel like you can do it in the first 10 years, because that's the shortest term policy you can buy. They don't sell a 4-year or 6-year. They sell a 10-year. And so most of the clients, as you said, not only through the use of the money will create extra cash flows, but also just through their own cash flows alone, they know that they probably can add to it. And that's why we only need to buy a 10-year policy, because if you convert it all in the first 10 years and you bought a 30-year policy, you paid more, because a 30-year policy may cost you $200 a month, where a 10-year policy may only cost you $50 a month. So you're paying an extra $150 or whatever your number is for that same period of time that you convert. You don't get any extra benefit from it.
So there's a couple of good questions that we answered there, which is how long do I have to convert it? And we touched on 10-year policy makes a lot of sense. We also talked about how much term should I buy? But then a reverse question to that is, well, then if I buy one, how soon can I convert it?
Yeah. Well, how soon can you convert it?
Well, I like Mark's answer is that it depends. But most companies will allow you to convert as soon as you want to.
Okay.
But some companies will require you to be at least 1 year into it to do that. So all those things considered, pretty quickly.
All right. Well, let's ask this question, because I think this could come up. Is do I have to be insurable again? Is there a test that I have to go back through from a health standpoint in order to convert the term policy to another whole life policy?
I love this question because the need to add additional policies, yes, we get that. The ease of it, I'll get that too, but the insurability piece of it, I think, is massive, which is if we start down this road, the only thing keeping us from getting additional policies is our insurability. Mm. So there would be a scenario where we get started on this and make a really earnest and good start, and we create additional cash flows or realize that we need to be putting more into this, but something happens to your health and you can't. That's a sad day, a sad place to be.
So and do you have to be insurable?
No. If you have set up a convertible term policy at a company where you'd want to convert to an infinite banking style policy, then all you have to do is sign that conversion paperwork.
I love the fact that it can happen seamlessly. You talked about earlier, the paperwork's less, but most importantly, if I'm converting an amount less than the death benefit I have, right? That's the only caveat, because we do have situations where somebody says, hey, by the way, I've got a ton of money, you know, and, or I realized that I should have put a lot more money into this than the term policy we bought. And so the death benefit that has to be bought with that cash flow is greater than their term policy. So then in that situation, yes, we have to go back through and underwriting and have the insurance company evaluate us again. But we always have the ability to convert it without any sort of insurability as long as we stay underneath that death benefit that we have in the term policy, which can be so huge, not only from a timeliness standpoint, but also if we've had, as you said, a hiccup in our giddy up there. All right, Mark, let's talk about the premium. So I've been paying these term premiums. Do I get any sort of benefit or credit toward the whole life policy if I do a conversion?
Yes. So in the research I was looking at, I was you know, looking at one company specifically and another one. And what was really, you know, cool to find out is a lot of us have, you know, depending on what you've been listening to, you've been hearing term is you rented it and that money is gone. You're not building up a cash value. You're not getting any downrange benefit unless you obviously were to pass away. But with a term conversion, if you have a term policy, the majority, if not all of the policies, I can't speak to every single company, but the ones that I was looking at, they're going to look back at the last 12 months of premium that you put in towards that term policy, and they will credit you that on that new conversion that you're going to do.
So let's put some numbers to that. Let's assume that I'm just going to say $1 million term policy, and it's $100 a month. And I want to convert to a new whole life policy. I come to you, Ernie, and I say, okay, Ernie, I want to convert this $1 million of coverage. You're going to do some sort of calculation with the insurance company and the government, right? And try to figure out what's the most I can put in and only have $1 million death benefit. And it spits out some random number, you know, $19,643 or whatever, you know, $27,132, whatever the number is, right? It's going to spit out a number that says, okay, you can convert up to this amount. And I go, okay, cool. I've got that cash. So I convert 100% of it. So Mark, what you just said is, that $100 a month, assuming that was my $1 million policy, right? That they would take that $1,200 I paid over the last 12 months and use that as a credit toward my $19,262 premium.
That's the way that I read it.
That's awesome. And by the way, that's exactly how it works, because I've done it 3 or 4 times over the last 10 years. It works as a credit. You can say, hey, I want to reduce my cost by that much, or you can just add that as a paid up additions rider to the policy, which by the way is what I've done every single time. And shocker that I wanted to get that extra money in there right off the bat and get the policy going.
Yeah. So there's that, which I think is important. You just talked about the paid up addition rider. So yeah. If we're converting a term policy into a whole life policy, but we're doing this because we want to build cash value and we want to use this paid up addition rider, can I convert this policy with a paid up addition rider?
And the answer is yes. But again, we know that the paid up additions riders will really accelerate not only the growth of the cash, but growth of the death benefit, right? And so one of the, sometimes people ask me, well, what might be a drawback to this? And I would say in the first couple of years, because of the paid up additions riders, the insurance company is going to underwrite or say how much insurance you can get based upon a future number. So let's just use that $1 million example, Mark. So you go in there and you say, well, I want to set up this policy the way that we fund it with all these paid up additions riders and everything else. The starting death benefit of that policy is not going to be $1 million. And the reason is if we add all these paid up additions riders, the insurance company knows that death benefit is going to grow significantly over the next 5, 10, 20 years. And so they're going to pick out a number in the future and say, okay, maybe at year 10, the death benefit is going to be $1 million. And so today it's 650,000 and it's going to grow to that million. And that's what we're willing to convert your term policy over, because we know really the risk to the insurance company is not today's risk. It's the risk in the future. And they're assessing that and they're going to say, okay, well, this new policy is worth 650. So there's the catch. If there is a catch in this, and I always mention this on the front end, most of the time people aren't buying the extra coverage for the pure coverage anyway. But if we do convert, or when we do convert our term policy, we may have a slight reduction for a number of years in our total death benefit as we make that happen. Did that come across clear?
So what you're saying is that I could have $1 million term policy and convert it in max potential and end up with a whole life policy the next day that's only a $650,000 death benefit, is what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Now, again, if we're worried about the cash, that didn't really matter. And most of the time in our discussions, when you come to us, we're never even talking about the death benefit. I mean, I just got off a call today with a guy and he said, now, based upon what we're looking at, what's the death benefit? And I was like, oh, I don't know. You know, like I'm having to like search to see it, because this isn't a traditional life insurance conversation, right? We're not sitting there saying, how much death benefit do you want and to be able to leave to your family? That's our discussion, is how much cash do you want and what do you want that cash to grow to so that way you can start using it? And then we reverse engineer what the amount of death benefit is. We're trying to get the least amount of death benefit, not the most. But when we do buy term insurance, there is a number that we pick. And how do we pick the number, by the way? That's important. How do we pick the amount of term insurance that we should add on as we're buying these whole life policies if we wanted to accomplish this goal?
There's a lot of ways that you can do it. But one of the things that we would look at is if we're buying cheap coverage to preserve our ability to create in the future, why wouldn't we go to the logical end of, well, how much can I buy?
Okay, well, what does that even process look like? How much insurance can one buy?
Yeah, and this is my least favorite part of what we do, is when I tell people that unfortunately these insurance companies that we represent put a limit on the value of your life, and I really don't like that part because I don't believe it.
Yeah,
but that's the way that it is. Then they calculate in one of two ways how much death benefit we can get on a life. And that's cumulative over however many policies you own, cumulative death benefit, they'll give you up to a limit.
And depending on your age, usually from ages 20 to 40, it's about 30 times your income, right?
Well, depending on your age, you know, stair steps, the older that you get. And what they're really doing there is they're saying, this is your income. And if you're 40, we think you've got 30 working years left. So they're going to take your income, multiply it by 30. And that would be your human life value.
Right.
Isn't that just so sad that your value is what you earn in income? Gosh.
But see, again, that's what people don't understand about life insurance companies, is that they don't take risks, right? They're literally going to look it's like a bank, when they determine how much money they're going to lend you, is their ability to pay it back. An insurance company is only going to insure you for an amount equal to the value, the cumulative value of your working years. That's what is lost in the family. Because really, an insurance policy is intended to replace. That's it. It's not to get you in a better position. It is literally to replace what would be lost. And I think that's an important part, is that we want to make sure that we have that value as high as possible. right? And I feel so bad, Mark, that I didn't do a better job of telling you and explaining this to you, because I know you had to go back through the underwriting part. And I was wondering, I was like, well, man, if I made this mistake. And so I text Joey as we were having this discussion. I was like, Joey, did I set you up with a term policy when we first started? And he was like, here's his exact response to me. When I bought my first policy, it was $2,000 a month, and I bought the most 10-year term you could get me. Then we converted it two more policies from that term policy in the first year. I was the ideal client. You can hear Joey, you know. He's telling me, man. He's like, for what it's worth, I thought of the term as money in the bank. Have it ready to go when my needs grew. So, Joey, you weren't here today on the podcast, but you were with us in spirit, and thank you for the text. So there is the purpose, right? So if I can get all of this, why wouldn't I buy all the coverage that I possibly could on the front end? Other than there is an expense to it, right? There is a cost, and we have to assess that. But if we're really healthy, that cost usually is fairly inexpensive. So, man, this was a great discussion. I want to keep it going, but I want to answer your questions inside the inner circle. So that's where we're getting ready to head right now. We're going to invite everyone who is part of our inner circle live into this discussion. And if you're not a part of this, you need to be. You can go inside of our community, wealthwallstreet.com/community. You can join if you're not already a member. Then you go under groups, and there's a bundle item. You just click that little button. There's a 7-day free trial. So there's no excuses for you not to participate in this next discussion we're going to have next week. Ernie, I know I'm going to put, usually I love to put Joey on the spot, but you're on the spot. What's our discussion for next week? What are we going to be talking about?
Where are we at? Our next conversation is, this is about to get deep. We're talking, what does a properly structured policy look like? When we're implementing the infinite banking concept, how do I know if this is structured correctly?
Oh, that is going to get deep. I know Mark's going to love every minute of it. I hope you will too. Come back and join us next week. As always, have an amazing day.
Are you looking for ways to implement ideas, get exposure to new ones, and be surrounded by people on the same journey as you? Joey, where can they go to do that?
Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/community. You can join for free today.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.